presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So before our show started today, Connor Riley, our buddy, one of the friendly faces around Dog Nation and one of the producers of Dog Nation Daily, told me that we have reached the official halfway point for the offseason. We're now 120 days down since the Sugar Bowl, and I guess 120 still to go before the season begins. And so I guess in a roundabout way, that's a good thing, because let's face it, around here, we always love college football season. We always look forward to that. But one of the things that probably makes me maybe a little different than some of you is that I am typically not in a big hurry to wish the summer away. First of all, I like summer. I like warm weather. I like swimming pools. I like playing golf. I like doing a lot of that kind of stuff. I like the kinds of things that you do in the summer, and you can still do that stuff in the fall, but it's a little more of a relaxed pace in the summer. I kind of enjoy that. The other thing I like about the summer, and I know many of you are probably not surprised to hear this, I kind of like this season of the football chatter. I like the hot takes of so-and-so's not going to a bowl this year, or so-and-so's ranked way too low, or this is the year so-and-so wins the national championship. I like all that stuff. I like prediction season, or as old coaches have said in the past, kind of calling it talking season. I'm a guy that talks for a living. I kind of like the talking season of college football. And as much as it pales in comparison to the real stuff we get on the field come the fall, I just think the talking season is kind of a nice, fun rite of passage to get to that point. I want everybody, you know, listeners to this program, viewers to this program, national media around Dog Nation, those of us within Dog Nation, I want all of us over the course of the next few weeks, next couple of months, to go on the record about exactly what we expect to happen in 2019. Most of us will end up being wrong about a lot of this, but that's also kind of what makes some of this kind of fun. That's also what kind of makes some of this stuff kind of fun as well. It's just kind of fun to kind of get into all of this. With that in mind, one of my favorite parts of the so-called talking season are the way too early top 25s. And at this point in time, virtually every major national website's got one of them, and they, I think, pretty much all call themselves the same thing. They're all way too early top 25s. Now, I don't believe we've gotten an ESPN update since spring practice ended around the country, but we have gotten some from, what, The Athletic and CBS Sports and Sports Illustrated and USA Today. And on all of these thus far that I have seen, Georgia is ranked number 3 in the country on all of them, right behind Alabama, who has been number 2 in every one that I've seen thus far, and Clemson, the reigning national champion, which has been number 1 in every way too early top 25 post-spring practice that I've seen up to this point in time. Now, you may ask, well, the media is wrong about everything. How sure are they that they're going to pick the right teams, 1, 2, and 3, in the same order and all be right about that? Obviously, with at least one of these teams in that top 3, we're going to end up likely being wrong about that, but right now that's virtually where everybody in the national media kind of sees Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia. But when you drill down a little deeper than that, the different national writers who've ranked Georgia number 3 right now, which you would assume is solidly in the playoff conversation, although maybe not a favorite to knock off Clemson or Bama for the national championship, the reasons why they have Georgia there are slightly different. The reasons why they have kind of addressed Georgia and how they've addressed Georgia at that spot, pretty prominent ranking, although not where Dog fans want to be at the end of the year, it's all kind of slightly different takes that the different national media people have. And I wanted to see if we can kind of address that for a moment, catalog all this for a moment. And when we're done a couple of minutes from now, I think what we're going to have is a pretty good synopsis of what the country thinks about Georgia. So let me start with this. CBS Sports, Dennis Dodd, longtime writer there, he had Georgia number 3 in his post-spring practice, way too early top 25. And what does he bring up in the little blurb about the Dogs? Well, he's going negative. He says, how do you wish to think of these Dogs? The team that had Bama down by 2 touchdowns in the SEC championship game, or the team that was worn down by Texas in the Sugar Bowl? That's what Dennis Dodd asked of CBSSports.com readers when he picks Georgia to be number 3 in his latest edition of the Way Too Early Top 25. Now, by this point in time, this is well-traveled ground. And for the most part, all of us around here have kind of put the Sugar Bowl behind us. Now, there are a lot of Georgia fans who are more upset about the Dogs' performance there than many national media types like Dodd were the night that it happened. A lot of Georgia fans said, hey, what was this all about? Why did Georgia play so badly? But I think the thing we've kind of coalesced around over the last couple of months is, as bad as it was, it doesn't necessarily have to be some sort of prediction or portending bad things to come for Georgia on the field in 2019. In fact, a non-Georgia fan was the one that's probably said that the most emphatically on this program. Our buddy Mike Johnson, who, listen, he's an Alabama guy. He's an Alabama grad. He's not dressed in red and black. He's dressed in crimson and white. But he was the first one to tell us, even in the immediate wake of the Sugar Bowl that Dennis Dodd brings back up this week at CBSSports.com, hey, don't make that big of a deal about it because, honestly, if anything, Georgia might be able to use it more so than be hurt by it. In fact, here is what Mike Johnson has said on an episode of Dog Nation Daily in the past about that.
I would tell Georgia fans not to panic and not to be too worried about it. It's not going to have a huge bearing on what you do next year. Now, if anything, BA, I would almost say it's a good thing because you look in the mirror at yourself and you say, boy, we can't really just show up and win these games in this Georgia jury. We really do have to focus on what we have to do to be able to win on Saturday or on Monday or whenever the game is scheduled. So if you want to really swirl it around and try to spit out some really good spin on it, I'd say, listen, they put up posters of the Texas Longhorns all offseason. You remind yourself you can't show up and just win football games, and they'll probably spin this into a lot more victories in the near future. I don't think that this is some kind of ultimatum, I guess, on what Georgia will be in the future. It's not like any other game. It's a week long. It's in New Orleans. You get a month to prepare. There's guys going different directions, and Georgia will learn from it. I'd say don't panic. I've been through it, and the next year we win a national title, so it's not the end of the world.
I agree with Mike Johnson on that. I think that's a likely path that Georgia could follow this season in the wake of what Dennis Dodd says at CBSSports.com. I think Mike's words there are a pretty important reminder. However, another national writer has a different take on the Dogs while also ranking them number 3 in the country in his way to early top 25. I'm talking about Paul Meyerberg from USA Today. Here is what Meyerberg writes about the Dogs. He says, the Bulldogs' series of practices revealed a team loaded with underclassmen talent set to contribute at many important spots, such as the secondary, for example, where Coach Kirby Smart singled out for praise multiple times in April. So this is kind of interesting for Meyerberg that he says, I think Georgia's a major playoff contender, number 3 in the country, chance to win it all, and one of the reasons why, on this deep and talented crop of underclassmen, take a look at that secondary. Watch those defensive backs as a reason to expect good things from the Dogs this year. Well, Kirby Smart, as Meyerberg said, did talk a lot about the secondary this spring. Some of it very, very glowing. Some of it a little bit more, I guess, practical or realistic. In fact, here's a pretty good example of how Kirby Smart seemed to feel about that group of defensive backs this spring, which, by the way, have a big job, which is replacing DeAndre Baker. Here's Kirby.
Had a good spring. I don't know if that's a credit to the young secondary or whether that's a lack of depth at receiver. Probably didn't have our best day today. We gave up some plays on the back end. I mean, more than we did the last week. But those kids grow. They're growing. I mean, what you know is we've got what we're going to have. There's nobody else coming. So it's very unique that we have depth and we're able to move people around and try to figure out the best parts. And, you know, you're really trying to get the guys that don't know what they're doing to be able to do that. There's a few guys that have played a lot of snaps here with the likes of Stokes and Tyson and JR and even Richard. Those four guys played a lot of snaps. So we're trying to get those other guys ready to go play. And the good thing is they're here to get these reps. I think that's going to pay off for us in the fall. I think we have the potential to have a very fast secondary. I don't know how instinctive we are yet. I don't know how great we are at playing the ball, but we do have some speed back there.
So USA Today says defensive secondary, a reason that Georgia could be a playoff contender. Kirby Smart this spring says, yeah, maybe, maybe not. Still learning a little bit about that group. But that's not the only reason the national media is citing about Georgia's playoff candidacy right now. Stuart Mandel of The Athletic. Stop me if you've heard this. He also has Georgia ranked number 3 in his way to really top 25 post-spring practice. And he mentions 5-star freshman linebackers, Nolan Smith and N'Kobe Dean, as a reason why. He says they're pushing to start from day one. A lot of Georgia fans saw that with their own eyes at G-Day. They played on the black team, which was thought to be the first-string defense for the Georgia Bulldogs. After G-Day, that particular Saturday, Kirby Smart was also kind of asked about those two freshman linebackers, what they bring to the table, and he said, yeah, maybe so, but there's still some words of caution, even in Smart's voice on these two.
Their progression has been great. I think what you got to be careful of is, okay, well, why are they playing with the group they're in? Is it because of a lack of depth? Is it because of wanting to get the guys on the other squad more reps and making sure they grow and get reps? They're both very bright. They're both very sharp, intelligent, mature freshmen, but they have not been through a college football fall. They haven't been through a college football game. They haven't played in an SEC game, and they both got a lot of growing to do, but I'm pleased with where they are.
So if you're scoring at home, here's what we've heard from the national media thus far. Georgia, number 3 in the country, solidly in the playoff discussion. Defensive backs could be a reason why. Freshman linebackers like N'Kobe Dean and Nolan Smith could be a reason why. And maybe a more surprising name shows up in the pages of Sports Illustrated, which also has Georgia right now ranked number 3 in its way too early top 25, and it mentions a name that a lot of you might not have expected. Here's what Scooby Axon writes for SI. The biggest question for Georgia is who's going to step up to join Jeremiah Holloman, replacing Jake Fromm's top 3 receiving threats from 2018. Redshirt freshman wide receiver Matt Landers reportedly torched the Bulldog scout team defense during the first season on campus. At 6'5", he could give Fromm the big target last year's receiving core lacked. So Scooby Axon says, watch out for Matt Landers maybe being a big-time receiver for the Bulldogs. For some fans, that may be a little surprising, but honestly, that's not that different than what Eric Stokes told us back during spring practice, a guy who would know pretty well because he's covering guys like that. Here's what Stokes said.
Of course, Matt Landers, like, that's a, like, Matt, like, we all, like, I know we all knew what type of person Matt was and all that, so I love to see the type of things that Matt doing now, because Matt is a person that's really hard to, I mean, like, he give you problems flat out as a DB.
He gives you problems as a DB. Apparently, the folks at Sports Illustrated have gotten wind of that as well, because Landers gets pretty prominent mention in their list of Georgia when it comes to the way too early top 25. Kirby Smart was also asked about Landers on G-Day as well. And once again, like it is with a lot of these players, there's a little bit of good and maybe some things that Landers is still working on. And in the case of Landers, it might be consistency. Here's Kirby.
Matt's had a good spring. I mean, Matt's level of consistency has to improve. Matt has to play to Matt's standard all the time. We've seen flashes of really good things from Matt. We're seeing more of those flashes. But with those flashes, we've got to have him come down with some 50-50 balls. There was a couple of balls I thought he should have pulled down early and get going. He's become a better special teams player, too, so he's able to contribute and been more competitive. We need Matt to step up for us.
So it's not necessarily interesting where the media ranks Georgia, because frankly, the media gets it wrong all the time. But the various reasons why the media thinks Georgia is a playoff contender, Matt Landers' name showing up there, a defensive secondary showing up as part of this conversation, Nolan Smith, Nakobe Dean, that part does interest me a bit, because you can tell that some of the things that we heard during spring practice have kind of reverberated their way outside the boundaries of Dog Nation, and some of the national media is starting to notice some of this stuff too. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including posting the show every day at the worldfamousdognation.com. We're really glad you're here, and I'm really excited because we're just a couple of days away. Monday, here on this program, right around this time in the show, we're going to make an announcement that I think is going to be really, really fun. I just think that this summer around Dog Nation, I said off the top of the program how much I love summer. Well, I think around Dog Nation, we're going to have more reasons to love summer than ever before. Two of the biggest events that we've done are going to take place this summer, and really, I don't know we ever have had more fun than we're about to have coming up, and we want many of you to be a part of it with us. So please be with us on Monday as we talk about a brand new thing for Dog Nation, never before done, but something you're going to want to be a part of that is going to be great. Before I get Tony Barnhart, our good friend from the SEC Network, who's our special guest on today's show, also a great guy doing some great college football writing, going on some spring tours, recently talking to a lot of the SEC coaches and the SEC programs. Before we get Tony on the program today, let me go around the doghouse here today, brought to you by Online Trading Academy. And I want to provide a little bit of an update on something we talked about on yesterday's program. I showed you the tweet. In fact, if you missed yesterday's edition of Dog Nation Daily, let me give you a quick reminder on this. I showed you a tweet from Mecale Sherman, the five-star linebacker, who let us know yesterday that he's kind of down to just two programs. He's down to Georgia and he's down to Ohio State, and that's essentially the end of his recruitment. He says, I'm shutting down the interviews. I'm not talking anymore. Sherman put that out on Twitter, and that's kind of the end of all that for him. But before Sherman did shut it down, he did get a chance to talk to Jeff Sintel. And why is it that it's now just down to Ohio State and now just down to Georgia? Well, some of the things that Sherman told Jeff, I think, give us a little bit of insight here, including that visit plan that was in place before that tweet. Listen to how things have kind of changed for Sherman, and listen here to see if you get a hint of the fact that Sherman was already kind of contemplating eliminating some schools from his list. Here's five-star linebacker Mecale Sherman.
Right now, what's next is Ohio State. That's this weekend. And I do plan on thinking of all five officials. However, if I feel like I don't need the fifth official, I won't take it.
So you might just take four? Is that what you think?
I might take four. I might take three. I might just take two. Who knows? It depends what my heart is. If I feel like I don't really need, because when it comes to my view upon business, I feel like everything's the same. And that's, I mean, coaches will show you the same facilities. You know, coaches will say the same thing in different words, things like that. And I, you know, me, I tell a guy to see through the lines to see, like, what you're trying to do. Like, you're just trying to recruit me. What you going to do? Just show me the same weight room I've seen on every other university. Show me the same, football field, stadium. You know, all those things really don't attract me. It's cool, you know, it's cool as eye candy, yes, but I really look more for relationship bonds more than actual facilities.
That audio from yesterday afternoon's edition of Before the Hedge is presented by Kroger, and Sherman just not that infatuated with the visit process. But a visit that he did enjoy was his recent official visit to Georgia. And this is one of the reasons why Dog fans feel good about his recruitment. What he says about the Dogs, coupled with the fact that he's eliminated a lot of other programs, all of a sudden has a lot of UGA fans feeling pretty confident. In fact, here is Sherman on his relationship with UGA.
The official visit was no different than the unofficial, which says a lot. The relationship-wise between me and the coaches, it didn't change. They didn't love me more or love me less than they did on the unofficials, or show me more love or show me less love than they did on unofficials. It was the same thing. I got the same treatment I had when I went there. So it really did establish some things. All it really did was strengthen bonds between me and the university. And that's all my other official business is going to be, really, just strengthening bonds and strengthening relationships to see how they weigh out within my recruitment.
So Sherman says he's down to Georgia and Ohio State. He puts that out on Twitter. A lot of national recruiting experts seem to think it's really Georgia who has the lead here. And the words that you heard from Sherman there, speaking to Jeff Sintel, they may be a pretty good reason as to why. It's Around the Doghouse is presented by Online Trading Academy. Make the best decision you can make. That's the decision to invest in yourself by learning how to make money in the markets across a variety of trading styles and a spectrum of asset classes. You can learn both in the classroom and online. Online Trading Academy makes it easy for you and makes it possible to really master one of the most important skills you can have. So please go to this website, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That's trading with a D, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. It's Around the Doghouse, presented by Online Trading Academy. We got a lot more in today's program, including a little bit of a controversial take from some Georgia fans about something an SEC coach has said about a now former UGA player. We'll give that to you later on the program. But for now, a guy that we love having here on Dog Nation Daily, and he's got a big event coming up that he wants to tell you about too. Let's talk to our buddy Tony Barnhart right now. And I tell you, I love reading Tony Barnhart, love seeing him on TV. We saw him in Athens for the Pro Day not too long ago on the SEC Network, and a guy that's been making his spring tour around a lot of the SEC programs, recently at Tennessee, recently at South Carolina. We'll talk to him about both those Georgia rivals here coming up in a moment. It's Tony Barnhart back again here on Dog Nation Daily. Tony, thanks for your time, and we really appreciate you spending it with us here today.
Well, thanks, Brandon. It's always good to be with you.
Well, it's great to be with you as well. And one of the things I was talking about before you joined us is, if you look at some of the big national websites, the Sports Illustrated, the CBS's, USA Today, The Athletic, you know, in their kind of way too early top 25s, and I love these things. I think you and I both are probably the same way on this. We like the early preseason chatter. We like the predictions. At least I do, for sure. But everybody's got Clemson 1, Alabama 2, Georgia 3. A little disagreement beyond that, but thus far, everything I've seen has had the same three teams in that order in their way too early top 3. Can people really be that unanimous and still be right? Is that a possibility?
Well, I can all be. They can always be, Brandon. Will they be right? History tells us probably not. But as you sit there and look at it, after watching Clemson play, despite all the losses on the defensive line, you still got the quarterback. You got Trevor Lawrence coming back. I think that has a lot to do with it. You sit there and look at Alabama. You know, they were 14-1. They played a bad game against Clemson. But you look at the talent they have coming back, and everybody still likes them. And I think Georgia with Jake Fromm and that offensive line, I just think a lot of people think this is the year that Georgia's going to break through. So to me, that's the reason those three are where they are.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to hear what you say there, and I think a lot of Georgia fans agree with your assessment, but to also look at kind of the national, I guess, viewpoint on all of this. It's really interesting that for Kirby Smart going into his fourth year, for a lot of people, this is the year Georgia's been building towards. And yet, on a neutral field in December in Atlanta, or maybe late December, early January in Atlanta, Georgia right now would probably be a slight underdog to both the Tigers and the Crimson Tide. It's really interesting to think that Georgia has built up what looks to be almost a gap between themselves and everybody else minus these two, and yet still dealing with a very formidable challenge, a fair fight against both, I believe, but a very formidable challenge with, you know, two of its neighbors here in the Deep South. It's kind of a unique situation, isn't it?
It is a unique situation, and the thing is, Brandon, is that you have, before you can win, you have to put yourself in position to win. You've got to be knocking on the door, and then eventually you'll break through. Everybody's looked at what Georgia's done the last 2 years. Easy to make an argument that Georgia could have won both of those games. Probably should have won both those games. So therefore, they with the talent level involved, people feel it's just a matter of time before Georgia has that breakthrough game. But Georgia's number three because they haven't done it yet. You don't do it until you do it.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. What's your overall takeaway from where Georgia finished things up after spring practice? I know you spent some time with Kirby Smart a few weeks ago. Just kind of looking in on what the Dogs did this spring, I guess G-Day included, how do you feel like maybe spring practice went in addressing some of the questions that we probably still have about the team?
I love the offensive line. I love the offensive line a lot. DeAndre Swift, if he stays healthy, he's going to have a monster year. Whoever plays number two running back is going to have a monster year. They're going to throw the ball a little bit more. I'm anxious to see what the offense looks like under James Coley. Jake Fromm is just one of the elite quarterbacks out there. And I think most people who follow Georgia, particularly from afar, wonder if they're good enough on the defensive line. But beyond that, there did not appear to be any weaknesses on this football team.
Yeah, I think that's pretty well said. You were also recently in Knoxville, and, you know, a lot's been made over the last few days, Tony, the fact that Tennessee had no one drafted. I think, seven Power 5 teams not to have someone drafted this year. Small handful of Power 5 teams didn't produce a draft pick. Tennessee was one of them. And now Jeremy Pruitt's obviously doing what he can to change that right now. But doesn't that speak to what a kind of a slow climb this is going to be for Tennessee? And, you know, listen, I'm no Vols fan, so I guess I take a little pleasure in saying this, but that doesn't mean it isn't true, that this program was really in dire straits from a talent standpoint before Pruitt got there, right? I mean, what did you find from your kind of eyewitness account of being there in Knoxville?
Well, first of all, not only did Tennessee not have a draft choice this year marks the third time in 5 years they have not had. That's 3 zeros out of the last 5 years. That speaks volumes about where they are from a talent standpoint. When Jeremy Pruitt got there, he knew he had a problem. And it's all about having enough players. So I think they're going to get there. They're not going to get there this year. They're probably not going to get there next year. They're at least one and probably two recruiting classes away from competing with Georgia, I think. And it's all about players. But based on I had a sit down with Jeremy Pruitt. I had a sit down with Philip Fulmer. They feel very good that things are headed in the right direction, but they also recognize Georgia's still giving out scholarships too, and they're doing it very well, and that makes the job even tougher.
Now, I will say this, Dad. You know, I want to talk to you about Dan Mullen some more in a moment, the Florida coach and the very busy spring that he's had. But if you're asking me to look, you know, a few years in the future, I think because Pruitt is a good recruiter, even though it's a long haul to get to where Vols fans want it to be and there's more patience required in Knoxville, I think that Tennessee has the potential of being a long-term threat to Georgia in a way that Florida just doesn't because, you know, Mullen's got more on-field coaching experience than Pruitt has, but I think we're already seeing that Pruitt's just a better recruiter, and I think the talent is the thing that would potentially strike a little bit of concern in the hearts of Georgia fans were to get to that point. So I personally believe that Tennessee, while not a short-term threat, is maybe better positioned to be a long-term threat. How do you feel about that?
If they recruit at that high level, yeah, you can absolutely say that. But right now, Florida's got more talent than Tennessee. I thought getting 10 wins out of that particular roster was a pretty good year for them. But, yeah, you're right. If Jeremy Pruitt and his staff – and look at what they've done from a staffing standpoint, Brandon. They bring back T. Martin. That's a recruiting move all the way. They bring in Derek
Derek Ansley.
Defensive coach Ansley. Thank you. Jeremy Pruitt likes this guy. This guy's a great recruiter. All right. Chris Winkie, who's going to start working with the quarterbacks now. Chris Winkie's a good recruiter. So they have beefed up their recruiting apparatus in the offseason, no question.
Let me talk to you about another SEC team that you recently visited, and it's a team that Georgia obviously plays every year, and Dog fans know Will Muschamp really well at South Carolina. And, Tony, this may be an example of something that I have been wrong about, because a year ago, I thought that Muschamp looked like one of the coaches on the rise a little bit in the SEC, and that South Carolina as a program might be one of those that, you know, not going to be a threat to win the national championship necessarily, but maybe on their way to building what could be a perennial top 25 team. As it stands now, after what I thought last year had been viewed as a disappointing season for South Carolina, I'm not sure I can kind of see it that way anymore. You know, he's had some recruiting wins, but, you know, he's like third, fourth, maybe fifth in line to kind of get into Atlanta and get these recruits in Atlanta that a lot of programs are trying to do. And as it stands right now, I'm not so sure how Muschamp fits into this landscape with a lot of programs selling something very similar just right next door to him in a lot of ways. How did you find Muschamp being there? Is there any tension starting to grow in Columbia about, you know, being a little more competitive in the SEC East?
Well, they're optimistic. They just moved into their new $50 million football training complex, and I took a tour of it, and it is state-of-the-art. It is really, really nice. Obviously, they expect to get a bump out of recruiting from something like that when you can show them. But there's some real issues in South Carolina they've got to deal with. One is, you know, they committed to the up-tempo offense, doing more RPOs, and that's fine. But Jake Bentley had 14 interceptions last year. That's too many. You can't do it. And I think Jake Bentley's got a lot to prove in this year. They do not run. They are not, Brandon, quite honestly, they're not very good on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
They're average at best. They can't run the ball effectively. Rico Dowdle is an inconsistent at best. He's been hurt. From a defensive standpoint, I think they're like ninth or tenth in rushing defense, and so they're just not good enough on the line of scrimmage. They got to get better. But I believe they think the future is looking brighter. But I would say I don't know that this is the pivotal year. But they, with everything, they need to take a step forward. And oh, by the way, if you look at their schedule, Alabama rotates on. All right. Clemson is still there. Texas A&M. They got to play Texas A&M in College Station, and they got to play Georgia in Athens. So it's a brutal schedule.
Yeah, that is really tough. ESPN's FPI data had South Carolina as the toughest schedule in the country for the reasons that you just enumerated for us. Before I hear about your golf tournament and kind of this fun stuff you got going on coming up in the days ahead, let me ask you one more here. Around this program, we've had a very good time at Dan Mullen's expense as of late. You know, Tony, it seems to me that Mullen has had a very outspoken offseason. Now, in fairness, I'll be the first to admit that the rubber chicken circuit has kind of always been kind of the breeding ground for a lot of jokes, and then in, you know, era past, that stuff didn't become public. And some of that with Mullen, that's what that's been. But it hasn't always been that kind of stuff. And in some cases, Mullen's allowed himself to be very open and very free. What do you think about this from Mullen, what has seemed to be an off season where he's generated more headlines than virtually any other coach in the SEC?
Well, I think Dan Mullen has an edge to him, which is something I kind of like about him. Sometimes you use that edge to gig your opponent. Steve Spurrier made a living doing it. He loved it. Now, you got to back it up. Okay, you got to go win the games and do those things, and that's where this stuff can come back to bite Dan Mullen. But honestly, any of this stuff that goes on in the offseason has nothing to do with winning and losing football games. And so I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it, but I know the fans get into it.
Let me ask you about this. You've got a great golf tournament coming up. It benefits a terrific cause. I know a lot of our audience is a big football fan. They love the idea of hanging out, having a fun football conversation, playing a little golf. The website to go to is hoi.org. But, Tony, I wouldn't mind you telling us a little bit more about exactly what's going to be going on, because I'm sure a lot of our folks would like to get involved.
Well, 4 years ago, my wife and I went to Honduras at the invitation of Honduras Outreach Incorporated. And they maintain two schools in the Galta Valley of Honduras, and they were dedicating a soccer field, a beautiful soccer field and stadium to coach Vince Dooley, and they asked us to come be a part of it. And since then, we've been involved with HOI, and they asked me to put my name on their golf tournament, their annual golf tournament every year. This will be the third year of the Tony Barnhart HOI Classic, and we have gotten tremendous response. This year, it's presented by SR Homes, who's our title sponsor. It's at TPC Sugarloaf in Duluth on May 13th. And we've got an incredible, you know, the Georgia people have really turned out to really help us. Coach Dooley will be there, David Green, Aaron Murray, Matt Stinchcomb, and outside the Georgia family, Danny Werfel is there, Dave Archer is there, Randy Rhino, three-time All-American at Georgia Tech. So the turnout is good, and you can play in the tournament if you want to play with a celebrity. That's an issue, but yeah, go to HOI.org for all the information about it. And the last 2 years have been really great, and we're looking forward to being back at TPC Sugarloaf on May 13th.
Sounds like a great event. So check out the website HOI.org for more information on that. Tony, we really appreciate you being here on Dog Nation Daily. I know TMGCollegeSports.com. You got some great written work there as well, in addition to the stuff we see from you on TV and everything else, right?
Absolutely. I get stuff for Paul Feinbaum again. That'll be on May 14th. So I got to start gearing up for that right now.
That's exactly right. Well, Tony, we'll look forward to seeing that. Thanks so much for being with us, and we hope to catch up with you on Dog Nation Daily again very soon too.
All right, Brandon, take care.
Excellent stuff from Tony Barnhart. I just love that conversation. You know, Tony is one of these guys who's just been around, and he just knows the situation. He gets to talk to a lot of these coaches in kind of a one-on-one fashion. So I always really enjoy that from Tony Barnhart, and I think that the work that he's doing also in the community as well for a great cause there in Honduras, really nice stuff. So please check out HOI.org. You can find out more about that. And it sounds like a really fun golf tournament as well. TPC Sugarloaf, you can't beat that. That's good stuff. Two quick things that Tony brings up there that I think are worth mentioning before we move on with the rest of our program today. First of all, there was a phrase that Tony used that I really agreed with, and I think this is really interesting. He says, whoever plays number two running back, I think is going to be fine. And I think we are to a point with certain positions in college football where that is true. Whoever the Oklahoma quarterback is, for the most part, is going to be fine. Now, I'm not a huge Jalen Hurts fan for reasons that I've, you know, dictated to many of you before, but Oklahoma quarterback's got a track record. It's been Baker Mayfield. It's been Kyler Murray. Whoever that Oklahoma quarterback is probably going to be pretty good. You could point out, you know, other positions in college football where you've seen success after success after success and say that position has a proven track record. It may be a new name this year, but the results we should expect to be pretty similar. I believe Georgia running back is now one of those. Number two running back, too, because last year, Elijah Holyfield, a guy that a lot of people around the country had not seen before, he steps in, goes north of 1,000 yards because number two running back at Georgia is a 1,000-yard position. So whether it is Zamir White, whether it is Brian Herring, whether it is whomever else, the position speaks for itself, and those results should be penciled in, even if the name is still to be determined. One more thing that Tony brings up. You know, I, off the top of the program, kind of rattled through a lot of the reasons why the national media is going to say Georgia's a playoff contender. Now, I didn't mention the obvious ones, offensive line, quarterback, running back, you know, things along those lines. This is more the more interesting, you know, things you might not have quite expected. Tony also brings out a really good point, that if you were also doing your list of reasons that might not happen, reasons that Georgia fans might have to be a little concerned or issues that need to be addressed, that defensive line, both in terms of being more impactful with tackles for loss and sacks, being better against the run, especially in those key moments when you're trying to get off the field on drives, that's one of those issues that Georgia probably still does need to address. I think that Tony's right about that. Good stuff from him, and it's been really, really fun to have him as a part of Dog Nation Daily.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, we got our SEC Through coming up, and I'm going to rattle through a good bit of stories, and one of these is going to be kind of a setup for something I'm going to do tomorrow on Kirby Smart. Before we get to that, though, you know, there is a subject a lot of people don't really like to talk about. Sometimes you may call it the D word, but divorce is a real thing. Somebody, sometimes people are going to have to deal with it, and if you are dealing with it, it's a subject that you're not going to be able to ignore, and as the saying goes, failing to prepare is really preparing to fail. And you know, Benjamin Franklin, of course, said that. That's kind of a famous quote, and it's one that we're all, you know, very much aware of. Well, when it comes to preparing for dealing with the unpleasant reality of having to go through a divorce, our friends at Meriwether and Tharp give you a chance to do that because they know the importance of preparation, especially when it comes to facing a divorce. It's critical to act quickly. gather, analyze the information, and then work to get the best possible outcome. So please check out this website, theatlantadivorceteam.com. TheAtlantaDivorceTeam.com. Divorce comes with a lot of uncertainties, but you will feel less uncertain and have a whole lot more peace of mind when you talk to TheAtlantaDivorceTeam.com. All right, SEC through time, some of the stuff here. Let me begin with this. I talked to Tony Barnhart a moment ago with the so-called rubber chicken circuit. Now, Kirby Smart does not do a lot of these anymore because Georgia frankly doesn't need them. The sort of fan intensity is at a fever pitch, so Kirby doesn't have to go out and do a whole lot of door-to-door sailing at this point in time. But Gus Malzahn apparently still does, and so he was doing one of these events last night, I believe it was. I saw a little video of this online. And on the quarterbacks, Malzahn actually gave us something of a forceful answer. Now, this is not a surprise, what he says, but what had started off as a four-person quarterback competition at the beginning of the spring has now been whittled down to two, and it is the two the media there in Auburn have been telling us about. It is Joey Gatewood versus Bo Nix. That means Cord Sandberg, who's like one of these graduate transfers who's a good bit older than the typical college student, he is not competing for the starting job anymore, nor is Malik Willis, who is a quarterback from Roswell. Is Malik Willis, I think he's from, I know he's from the Atlanta area, I think he's from Roswell. So, nonetheless, Willis is going to not be a competitor for that starting job anymore either. So, this is not necessarily a surprise, but it is kind of weird to think there were a lot of Auburn fans who were looking forward to seeing Willis on the field, and now I've kind of turned their attention more to Gatewood and Nix. I am a believer that the first snap of the season for Auburn is probably taken by Gatewood. And then beyond that, my guess is at some point in time, it's Bo Nix that becomes the starter, which is one of the reasons why I believe that this year, when Georgia plays Auburn in November, Auburn's probably a tougher team late in the season than they are in the beginning of the season. Nix is just the better overall quarterback prospect, but that may not be true right at the end of August. That may be more true late October, November, but Gus Malzahn is kind of validating what Auburn media and Auburn fans have kind of seen with their own eyes, which is it's Gatewood and Nix well out in front of everybody else, and we'll see if that gets whittled down to a starter by the end of the summer. So I talked to Tony Barnhart about this a moment ago, and I'm going to talk more about this in relationship to Kirby Smart tomorrow, but there's a guy named Ben Kercheval who writes for CBSSports.com, and he kind of put out his list of coaching tiers, and he has, you know, here like the very best in the sport and kind of like that next group and that next group and on and on and on. Well, one of the tiers he has is the kind of jury still out tier, and you're probably not surprised to hear that Gus Malzahn's in that. Let's face it, Malzahn has been kind of teetering on the hot seat for virtually every year of his career at Auburn, despite the fact that he's won the SEC, played for a national championship, won the West as recently as 2017. Malzahn seemingly can't escape the hot seat. At this point, that's a tired conversation. But as I said a moment ago, and as Tony Barnhart was also talking about, Will Muschamp here I think is really interesting, because last year I thought that South Carolina was a top 25 team. They didn't come anywhere close to being that. Tony mentioned Jake Bentley, the quarterback. I think that there's actually some danger for Bentley not holding on to that job for the entirety of the season. Whether it be Ryan Helinski, the incoming freshman, Dekran Joyner, who's been on campus, guy they like, I don't know that Bentley holds on to that job for the full year, and I think he could be potential to lose it to one of two potential backups. I do think that South Carolina's got some pretty good-looking defensive line prospects. As Tony said, they've struggled on the offensive line. They have not run the ball well, but between the recruiting work they've done on the defensive line, surely that's going to be better this year, Zach Pickens included. But we may be getting close to the time where the collar may start to get a little tight for Will Muschamp at South Carolina if he doesn't start winning a little more. Now, speaking of that, in this Ben Kercheval column at CBSSports.com, one of the tiers that he had was the quote-unquote so-called proven winner. And one of the names that he included in that list was Kentucky coach Mark Stoops. I'm not trying to be snarky. I'm honestly asking this real. Kentucky last season had a really good year. This was like legitimately a top 15 team in the country. But I'm not quite so sure they're going to duplicate that here in 2019. And I'm not quite so sure that just one season makes Mark Stoops a quote-unquote proven winner. If I'm not mistaken, Stoops still has a losing record overall, which begs the question of how can one be a proven winner when for a career one has lost more than he has won. But if Stoops ends up being actually a proven winner, then for some of these other coaches that I've mentioned, guys like Will Muschamp, that's going to be a real problem because, as you know, there is not room for everyone to be a proven winner. My guess is Kentucky does take a pretty significant step back this year, even though they've got the great Eddie Graham calling their plays for the offense. Let me do one more quick thing for SEC through, Then when I turn the page and talk about something completely different. So off the top of the program, I talked about how some of the way too early top 25s that are out right now, I referenced The Athletic, USA Today, CBS Sports, Sports Illustrated. I talked about how all of these were in total agreement on Georgia. They all have Georgia number 3, a spot below Alabama, 2 spots below Clemson. However, not every program was as unified in terms of the opinions that it conjures up. An example of the opposite of this was LSU. Now, let me see if I can rattle off a little bit of this. LSU was number 5 in The Athletic's way too early top 25, number 5 in CBS's poll. They were number 7 from USA Today and number 13 from Sports Illustrated. Now, you talk about a wide gap of potential outcomes. A couple organizations, media types, have you at number 5. A few have you at number 13. I reckon if you averaged all these together, you'd get something pretty close to the actual truth for LSU. But isn't it funny how varying and differing the potential outcomes could be for Orgeron this year? If you're number 5 in the country, you are a legit playoff contender. If you're a number 13 team in the country, there's going to be a lot of folks down the bayou trying to get Jimbo Fisher's cell phone number. That is a wild array of potential outcomes, and that should make the SEC West this year pretty fun to watch. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, I want to tell you a quick story. So yesterday, we do this video series every day. It's a short video. It's supposed to be 90 seconds. It's called DN90. The honest truth is it's almost never 90 seconds, not for lack of trying. I just can't seem to shut up in time to get off the air before the 90 seconds are done. So we end up sort of stretching a little longer than 90 seconds. But the point is, the video series is called DN90. That's why it's called DN90, because we try to do the thing in 90 seconds. Well, yesterday, one of the things that I brought up was something that Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt had said on the Eric Ainge radio program in Knoxville. Ainge is a former Tennessee quarterback, does a radio show there in Knoxville. And Ainge and the host, I forget who all else is on the set with him there, but they asked Jeremy Pruitt about DeAndre Baker. Now, Pruitt said something that I didn't really have a problem with, but I heard from some of you who thought it sounded like Pruitt was trying to take credit for DeAndre Baker's success at Georgia. That is not what I get from this. Let me let you hear it with your own ears, and you can tell me, is this Pruitt trying to step in and steal the swagger from Georgia when it comes to DeAndre Baker being the number 30 pick in the NFL draft? Decide for yourself. Here is Jeremy Pruitt from the Eric Ainge radio program.
Something that's interesting about DeAndre Baker, and I didn't coach him his last 3 years, but he was in a line of about 100 defensive backs, and he came to one session of a camp. I pulled him over to the side and asked him his name. I had never even watched tape on the guy. I didn't know who he was, but I knew right then he had a skill set, and I asked him how old he was. He was 16 at the time. I said, how many offers you got? He said, 0. I said, well, you got an offer from Georgia. He said, well, I commit.
So far be it from me with my southern accent to make fun of anybody else's southern accent, but how much do you love the way that Jeremy Pruitt says 0? 0. He turned 0 into like a 4-syllable word. I kind of like that from Pruitt, but I don't feel like he's taking credit for Baker on that. I feel like he says, hey, listen, I didn't coach him, but I did recruit him. And the honest truth is, as much as Jeremy Pruitt's a kind of an enemy and a rival of Georgia now, I mean, I think you've got to probably say that Pruitt did do some good things from Georgia on a recruiting standpoint. And I've also heard from some Georgia fans who say they're not quite sure the legend of the recruitment of DeAndre Baker actually played out quite the way that Pruitt described it in that interview, that maybe he did have a little more offers than that. Maybe he was getting a little more attention than that. Maybe that's the case. The honest truth is, after all these years, I have a hard time remembering. But that's kind of Pruitt's deal on that. But I think that it's actually semi-commendable, am I wrong for saying this, that he says, now don't forget, I didn't coach him. I did recruit him, but I didn't coach him. I mean, compare that to what Jimbo Fisher did. Remember with Jalen Ramsey, was it last year, heading to the Texas A&M of the, what would have been, I guess, the 2018 class for Texas A&M, where they put out that social media edit of all the guys that Jimbo Fisher had coached. And in the case of Ramsey, this is at Florida State, and a lot of the defensive coaches were not the same ones. And Ramsey got really upset about that. Now, I like Jimbo, but that to me is an example of a coach trying to take credit for, you know, some work that doesn't necessarily belong to him. I don't necessarily get that being what Jeremy Pruitt's doing here. And I do think when it comes to a lot of these sort of 3-star guys who've had success at Georgia, how they got to UGA is actually kind of an interesting story. All right, let's wrap up here. A couple things. First of all, Gatorator Updater, 915 days. That's how long it's been since the lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia. That's good news because we believe that good Georgia fans are Gator haters. Let me also address a couple of other issues involving other sports. First of all, Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland was on our radio partner 960 The Ref this morning. It sounds like Emerson Hancock, who missed a start last week against Mississippi State, and it did not go well as the Dogs got beaten up bad in Starkville, for precautionary reasons only, is going to also miss his start this weekend with Florida coming in Athens on Friday. Now, this is not the same Florida team that has been certainly in recent years, last year especially, but it's still a big series for Georgia. They're going to try to win it and get an early start on that series without their ace pitcher on Friday night. Also, I guess congrats go out to the Georgia basketball team. Grad transfer point guard Donnell Grisham from Northeastern. I think it's a pretty good pickup, adding a little veteran presence to the Georgia basketball roster. I like it. And we'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily. And on video.